open God's word this morning, let's turn to God in prayer. Our Father, we are going to go into your word and learn about forgiveness, and we pray, Lord, that this, that your word may teach us how to live, that your Holy Spirit may change our hearts, that we may live differently than we do as a result of having heard what your word teaches us today. Bless our worship this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So our reading this morning is from Matthew chapter 18, verse 21 to 35. And this you may find on page 20 of the New Testament of your pew Bibles. And there we read, "Then Peter came and said to him," that's Jesus, "Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times?" Jesus said to him, "Not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. And as he could not pay, his Lord ordered him to be sold together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell to his knees before him, saying, 'Have patience with me, I'll pay everything.' And out of pity for him, the Lord of that slave released him, forgave the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of his fellow slaves, who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, 'Pay what you owe.' Then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, 'Have patience with me, I'll pay you.' But he refused. He went and threw him into prison until he'd pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, 'You wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you?' And in his anger, the lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother or sister from your heart." God bless the reading of his word.
The slide that is up there is one, if you're watching before the service, that comes up at the beginning of the service as a little reminder for what's called our Compel class. Now, a number of you in that age group know what this is already, but just a reminder for you as students or for parents of what this is. At the welcome desk, there is a sheet that looks like this. That should be there every Sunday that we have Compel class. And the invitation is for the students who will be a part of this to pick one of these up and to use the questions on there to kind of help them listen to the sermon. And so Compel students, the idea is that you'll look at these and fill in some of the blanks or some of the answers. And then after the sermon at some point, then you'll be dismissed with teachers to get together for a little while just to talk about the sermon. And so the important thing is to remember, and that's why the slide is up there, to remember to pick up the sheet. But also, parents, I'd like to encourage you. The idea is not just that your children listen, well, and that you, of course, listen too, but that you might take the opportunity to ask them about it and talk together about the message and make it as much as you can a learning time for the family and help our students also grow in what it is to listen to the word, the preaching of the word as well. Forgive one another. From the passage we just read, these words, This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you, unless you forgive your brother or sister from the heart. And then from Luke 11, the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And from Matthew, following the Lord's Prayer, when Jesus explains that further. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And then a focus verse for this morning. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. I wrestled a little with how to set up the liturgy for this morning's service. Because I first thought that maybe what we should do is celebrate the Lord's Supper first and receive and celebrate God's forgiveness of us, and then we could look at what that meant for us forgiving others. Kind of like the sequence of the parable in Matthew 18 as we read that, because this is important. But then I thought that may feel almost a little bit like being cornered. We receive something big, and then we're going to find out the fine print that comes along with it. So I thought we should look at this first. And in the end, no matter what process, what order, how you do that, in the end, there is simply no way to avoid what Jesus is saying. This package deal of sorts. And we need to go into that with our eyes open and recognize that what Jesus and what this is about is not just getting some sin problems addressed. It's about relationship. It's about our relationship with God and our relationship with each other. So we head into this next one another statement of the Bible. And as many of you will know, what we've been doing is going through these one another statements. And we've noted along the way that this is about building community. About what it means to be a church community. Not simply a group that worships together once in a while or runs some programs, but a community of people who belong to the Lord and who belong to each other. That's what communion is about. Well, heading now to this passage in Matthew 18, beginning there at verse 21, read what Peter was doing. And Peter thought he was being quite generous. He asked Jesus, how often should you forgive someone when they come to you, presumably with the same, or at least the same, if not the same events, the same person? And then he answers the question before Jesus does and suggests seven times. Now, we may not know that that's generous unless we know a little bit the context in which that comes. Because the rabbis and the law said you had to forgive three times. And the fourth time, you don't have to. And they thought, based on some passages in the Bible book of Amos in the Old Testament, that God forgives three times, and you certainly don't want to outgrace God. So the fourth time. So forgiveness was limited to three, and Peter, being his daring self, was defying the understanding of the law and suggesting that, well, maybe seven would be good. So I'm sure Peter thought he was going pretty far in setting new limits of forgiveness. And to his credit, when we understand the context, that was a higher number. But instead of Jesus walking up to him, shaking his hand and saying, Peter, you're my man, you got it, you get what this is about. Jesus says, no, 77 times. In other words, you can't legalize the limits of forgiveness, because that misses the point. Forgiveness is about the heart and about who you are with someone. And that's what you have to work with. So Jesus tells a parable. A parable that's divided into three parts. Act one. The king in the parable has decided it's payback day and the books have got to be straightened out, and this one servant owes him 10,000 talents, which is about $10 million if you would put it in today's terms. An amount that was more than the average annual budget of one of the provinces of that time. Well, the parable, and Jesus in telling it, doesn't get into how the servant ever got into that kind of debt, just that he was in, and there was no way he could pay it off. Especially not considering that the average daily income would be about 18 cents. Not a chance to pay it off, and that's the point. So the servant, in a pretty absurd move, decides he's going to beg to be let off the hook, and the king, in an even more absurd move, lets the debt go. Just like that. No strings attached. Nothing to do but to accept it. And the servant, because he's no fool, he accepts it. Act two, where we come to see that the servant actually is a fool. A $10 million loan forgiven. You'd think that maybe in a splurge of excitement, perhaps even foolish excitement, he might go out and buy half the town flowers or something to celebrate. That he'd be ecstatic in his thankfulness for what had just happened. I mean, he was destined for slavery with his family. But no, on his way home, he sees someone who owes him the equivalent of about $20, but the guy can't pay it. So he throws this other guy in prison to secure his debt. Act three. The king is still in the picture. The other servants see what has happened, and they're pretty upset. It's not that what the servant did was illegal. They were upset that what the servant did trampled on the whole idea of forgiveness that their king had set. And the point wasn't the money, but that this servant of the king wouldn't model, even in a small way, what the king had done for him. He made the grace of the king look foolish and arbitrary. And, well, you know the rest of the story because we read it. And Jesus' point, you and I are the ones who have been forgiven our sin. A problem so big that we could never take care of it. And it would end us up in eternal separation from God. And so God takes care of it, and he forgives us, and he gives us eternity with him. That's what we're going to celebrate in just a little while. And the question that God now asks is this: if you have received this from me, how are you handling it when someone has offended you and needs your forgiveness? Do we forgive each other just as in Christ God has forgiven us? Do we help that happen with each other? That's the question that comes in the context of the grace that we receive from God in Christ. I mean, so then I ask, so what's the deal? Why is that so crucial? And what we have to understand, of course, that this business of forgiveness, first of all, has to do with our King and us. To see that God forgives us because even though we ought to pay what we owe, and we ought to do what we should, And we ought to be what God created us to be. God doesn't want to simply tell us how we're measuring up and that we messed up hugely. And then demand the $10 million that we would owe. God doesn't want our money, as it were. God wants you. God doesn't want to lose you forever because of the debt of sin and because our inability to take care of it. And so God does what it takes for us to be okay with him so that we can be together as God and people. And then God says, it's not just about you. I want that to be the mark of the kingdom and of the kingdom people which you are. God wants us to be a community of people who forgive each other and so show the world that our love, our relationships with each other is more important than simply getting people to pay what they owe. In fact, this is so important that God tells us that how we do this with each other has an effect on how we're doing with him. But it is difficult. Very difficult. Because to forgive takes strength and it can be hard work because, and compel here is where we're getting into question number three, because forgiveness is not simply about a feeling that you may or may not have. Forgiveness is not about forgetting. And we have to be careful in using that kind of language. Forgiveness is not simply about being angry or about not being angry. And forgiveness is not something that you need to do simply because you need it. Any more than God forgives us because it's good for him emotionally to get past something. Forgiveness is about no longer seeing the other person in light of what they had done, sign or no sign. Taking the burden of their wrong away from your perspective of them. And to do that not because they deserve it, but simply in love. To do that because you want to build relationship with them. Even if it's not the same as it was before, and we get that. But that can be incredibly hard. Because it's so much easier for us, it's so much easier for me to focus on the fact of the hurt I feel and what someone else has done. And you can't decide that for me. Or tell me when or how to do, because it is my hurt. But this is what God says. He invites us to think about the context of his grace in building community by recognizing his grace in us. And so now the tough question. Not what do you know about or what do you think about forgiveness, but who is there in your life that may need forgiveness? Who do you need to be reconciled with, and what are you going to do? What's a step you can take to make that happen? At least start for the sake of Jesus Christ. But before we end, a few clarifications that I think may help. First, we can't confuse forgiveness with pardon. Pardon is concerned with the legal status of an offense. And forgiveness is personal. Forgiveness deals with the impact that an offense has had on me and how I am with the other person and the other person with me. And there can be forgiveness without pardon. I mean, you think of the criminal on the cross beside Jesus. He received forgiveness, but he still died the cruel death on the cross. And a child who may, in some irresponsibility, damage the family car can be forgiven, but that doesn't mean that there may not be a time of not being able to use the car. There are consequences that can still apply even in forgiveness. And secondly, forgiveness is not excusing. To excuse is to suggest that maybe if we could just understand some things and how that was shaped by circumstances or whatever, that then we may see that perhaps the person didn't have any option but to do the wrong that offended me. And understanding may help me in forgiving someone. But excusing it is not what forgiving is. God says we are responsible for what we do, and so we take offense seriously. And Jesus calls us to forgive, not to excuse. And thirdly, forgiving is not based on the performance of the other person. And that's a tough one. I mean, we live in a world based on performance. You know, when we were kids, and that may be true for some of you who are children, you get a cookie. Or you get an allowance if you clean your room and make your bed regularly or something like that. Or if you do well at the tryouts, you make the team. Or if you give the right impression and answers at an interview, you get the job. Our whole lives are based so much on performance. And when it comes to our $10 million debt to God, it's not performance, but God's grace. God says, that's right. In Jesus. And that's how forgiveness works in the community of grace. From the heart. Not because they earn it or deserve it or do something to convince you, but because you are a child of God and they are a child of God. And we forgive in grace in Christ because of God who has forgiven us. The pastor tells of how on one Sunday in his sermon he was stressing the theme of urgency that you find in the Bible. We have to respond now, he said. Tomorrow it may be too late. And at that point in the sermon, a man got up and walked out. As ministers probably tend to do, this one figured that probably something he'd said in the sermon had offended the person and caused them to leave. Well, the next day, this man called the pastor to explain. I walked out, he said, not because I was upset with anything you said, but because I heard what you said. My brother and I had a fight about 12 years ago, and we haven't spoken to each other since. And when you pointed out what Jesus asked for and the warning that Jesus gives about delaying, well, I knew I had to act today, because if I didn't, tomorrow I might not have the heart to do it anymore. So I walked out to a quiet place, and I called my brother, and we got together last night, and we forgave each other after 12 years. What a God. What a God who from the heart forgives us, not because sin is the issue, but because we are. And sin is the problem. And God wants us. That's communion. And you and I are children of the King together. And all of this is not, first of all, about justice. It's about relationship. About building the body of Christ together. And the world needs to see that, and our children need to see that, and we need to give and receive that from each other. And maybe God's word to you on this day is speaking specifically to take a step, even just a small one, to pay it forward to someone in your life where that needs to happen. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other as in Christ God has forgiven you. This is the word and the love of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, when we understand your love for us, and when we sometimes get our misunderstanding that you would be preoccupied with sin and forget that your love is for us, then when we see and hear these things again, we want to say thank you. And as we anticipate celebrating a supper that speaks of your grace, your forgiveness in our lives so that we can be your children through Christ, we want to say thank you from the bottom of our heart. As we look forward to celebrating that, we pray for your blessing that we may know that your forgiveness comes with no signs that we need to wear, but a new beginning. But we also recognize, Heavenly Father, that it's a little harder sometimes for us to understand or figure out what that means in our relationships with each other. And yet we hear so clearly that your forgiveness of us needs to somehow find its way through us in grace to others who are part of our community. For ways in which we have received that from someone else, knowing the offense that we caused, and knowing a relationship that's been restored, we want to say thank you. And for ways in which we've been able to extend that grace to someone else, and somehow find and recognize that the relationship is important and working our way to that is important, we say thank you. And for ways in which we need to think about what this means, so that as we receive your grace, we not only understand the package deal that we read about, but we may be empowered by you, Holy Spirit, to be the people in each other's lives that dare to admonish when admonishment is needed, that dare to call sin for what it is when that is needed, and that desire to forgive when that is needed. And that when we are the offending person, that we dare to go and say sorry and ask for that. In this way, we pray not simply that we'll do some things about grace, but we may grow as a community, not just among ourselves, but we may be a light, an example, a model to our children and to a community around us. And so we ask that in hearing your word, you also hear our prayer. For Jesus' sake, amen.